Sports and Recreation reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Right now, though, we're going to move on to our next guest, and the University of South Dakota Coyotes are coming off a 4-7 season, which placed them sixth in the Missouri Valley Conference last year. This year's coaches poll shows that many think expectations are about the same for 2017. Focus during training camp has the team looking ahead, protecting leads and closing out games with without the drama. The team opens this season Saturday evening in Des Moines at Drake. Right now, Mick Geary is with us. He's sports writer and columnist with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. He covers the Coyotes sports beat. Mick, long time no see. Are you there? Boy, just a couple of technical issues here today, but we're going to work our way through them. Glad you're with us, Mick.
Once again,
good to have you with us. Well, there were some games last season that were wild, wild west, and closing is being re-emphasized. How does that happen? Does it happen through better practices? Just how does the Coyotes team prepare to close out games here in 2017?
Well, I think that you can look at each of those games and point to a play here or a play there that really could have, you string a couple of those pivotal moments together, and their season last year would have looked dramatically different than it ended up being. But on the other hand, the close games they won, you could say the same thing about them, that there were some strange things that happened that enabled them to win. So all in all, I think big picture, justice was rendered last year, and that was, they finished 4-7, and as much as you could point here, point there, they were a 4-7 team. And so in that context, I think that ending the close games is more a matter of getting better, just having, getting the players you have out there better players, rather than just going, well, we got to, attaching everything that happened to attitude and keeping the faith and all the other stuff that we read about so much this time of year. So I think that, to answer the question, they got a lot of guys coming back who are, you would think following the path that most players follow are going to be a little bit better because they got experience last year and they're a little bigger and stronger and capable of playing college football this year. And maybe couple that with a little bit of the rest where you're a little bit more confident, and maybe the battle scars from last year you can use to your advantage this year, knowing that you've been, for better or for worse, in a lot of difficult, very stressful situations on the football field. A lot of those players haven't, and now that they've been through it once, they're going to be able to attack those situations, with more poise this year.
That's a big part of it, too. And just taking a look at who is coming back this season, I'd start at quarterback with Chris Trevler. I mean, here's a guy that came in last season, and I don't know if anybody really had an idea what he's going to be able to offer to this team, but he's a guy that helped the team put up some nice points on the scoreboard, and it's a great place to start for the Coyotes as they look ahead to 2017, to have that guy under center and to have somebody they can be confident in.
Absolutely. When you look at the offense, and he left last season as obviously their best player on offense, and to know that he's the guy who's coming back and should, again, following some productivity arc, should be a better player this year than he was last year. Interesting story in that he had not really played quarterback in a year when he got to USD. He'd been working at receiver and several other positions for the Gophers, looking for a way to get on the field after they decided he wasn't a quarterback. So he was adjusting, making personal adjustments to get back into that position, in addition to trying to figure out a new offense. So those factors would lead you to believe, optimistically, I guess, that he's got the potential to have a really big year, given his, he's a really terrific runner, and once leaves the pocket, he's not looking for a first down, he's looking for a touchdown. And he had, I would say six or seven runs last year of like 40 yards or more, and was, day in, day out, the best running back, the best ball carrier that the Coyotes had last year. And the story is, so far, at least after 150,000 fall practices that he's more comfortable with the passing game, and just a better quarterback, a better thrower than he was a year ago at this time. So we'll see. But he definitely looks like a guy who could be a real difference maker for 11 games for USD this year.
Yeah, over 800 rushing yards last year. And this is a quarterback that is more of a typical Division I quarterback. I mean, he's got some size. He's got some durability. Not a small quarterback by any means. But you think that maybe we'll see a little more with the passing game this season?
I would say so. I think that now that they got so many of their offensive players that have a year in the system now, that a lot of times in a spread offense, it's more the pass setting up the run and getting the defenses having to panic a little bit with the quickness of the plays coming off and with the your completion percentage on short passes, where all of a sudden they have to make accommodations to make sure that they have all the receivers covered. And then that is in part the way that you open up holes and open up opportunities for the running game. Whereas most of them are, it's the other way around. You keep pounding it into the line and then they bring a bunch of guys up and then you loosen up the secondary a little bit. But I think that premise didn't really work last year because they weren't slick enough with the no huddle spread offense that is being coached to them. And this year there would be a better chance for that to be the case, a better chance for them to burden the defense with the consistency and the quickness of the offense.
Do they have the convenience of some of the support players on offense, or are there some holes that need to be filled before 2017 starts?
Well, there's two new offensive linemen, neither of whom have played any college football yet, or any four-year college football, with a JUCO and center Mason Scheidegger, who was redshirted last year, they think a lot of, but he hasn't played at center. But they have a slew of wide receivers who all played last year, and none of them had spectacular seasons, but they all played pretty well. Brant Van Roekel is a senior this year, and I think they really think he can bust out. He missed about six games last year. Alonje Brooks is a guy who had about 25 catches last year. Really looks like a good receiver. But a bunch of guys who are freshmen last year who were also, none of them really big players, but all really look like guys who are going to have the potential to make some more contributions this year. And in that offense with so many plays run so quickly and so much running around asked of the receivers, you kind of have to have a deep roster at that position if you're going to keep guys fresh. So I would say receiver is another area where there's a lot of – they're very confident that they got Missouri football level players there. Other than that, the line, there's three spots where they played. They had guys who have already played a lot, Nick Jensen at tackle and Setson Daigle at guard and Tanner Anderson, the other right tackle. So there's a lot going on there. And if they would stay healthy, it would definitely be a veteran outfit going into the year.
Yeah, it sounds like the receivers have a lot to look forward to and just a matter of some of them coming into their own here in 2017. How about on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, we talked about Wild Wild West last year. We saw a lot of back and forth, some crazy affairs. What about the defense? Where are their strengths and where do they need to do a little bit of shoring up?
Well, when they left last year, they were, I think it was about giving up 250 yards a game on the ground, which is within the context of the conference is just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. It's going to take you're going to lose games if you can't do better than that. They were 10th in the league and their pass defense was a little bit better, higher up in comparison to others. But I think that was only because teams knew they could run against them and had no reason to pass. So that has been a huge point of emphasis right to, the post-game comments from their last game last year, Coach Bob Nielsen saying, we have to get better at this. To that end, John Wessel's a veteran linebacker. This would be his fifth year. Who was a very good player 2 years ago at middle linebacker and got hurt last year and played like, I don't know, half a dozen plays, got another year, and is back at middle linebacker, and I think they feel really good about that.
NFL teams even struggle sometimes at the position of kicker, and Miles Bergner leaves a hole in the roster, too. I mean, you just don't see kickers like that come along all the time when you're a coach. And Miles Bergner just playing in the IFL this past season, but what a luxury it was to have him as your place kicker for the Coyotes. What are they doing to fill his shoes?
Well, right now, and I talked to the coaches this week, and they still were writing things down in pencil, it sounds like, not in ink. But Ethan James, who's been kind of Miles' walk-on backup for 3 years, is a kid who went to Vermilion High School. Looks like he'll be the starting place kicker. Ryan Weiss, who is kind of a Division I vagabond to this point, he played a little bit at Oklahoma State. He played at Hawaii. He was involved in the Hawaii program for a while and the Kansas program, always as a backup. Who would be the other guy pushing James for that place kicker spot? And they, you know, talking to him this week, they still had not. It didn't look like they were really certain as to which guy they were going to use on Saturday against Drake. Punting wise, Brady, it was the same way. You know, you look at Bergner, he was the best punter in the nation and the best kicker in the conference. So he's looking at a guy who was just, if it was two guys, they would still be, you know, really talking about how are we going to, you know, maintain some level here at this position. And they got a Brady Schutt, who is a redshirt from last year, and also a guy they brought in, a true freshman, Brian Clements, a punter, and both those guys apparently have looked pretty good, according to the coaches. I think they're more comfortable with that punting spot right now than they are with a kicking spot.
Mick, when you look at the schedule, are there any opportunities for the Coyotes to sneak up on anybody here? I would imagine that they're probably in a position where they can be in every single ball game this year, right?
It kind of looks that way. I mean, there were two games last year where they were kind of got beat up a little bit, and the rest of them were all, you know, one score games. So you could see that again going to Drake this week. That's a non-scholarship school, so the Coyotes will go into that game as a favorite. There won't be too many after that where they would be the no-brainer favorite. After that, they go to Bowling Green, which is, you know, that's, you're not looking at, you know, it's not like you're going to Camp Randall to play the Badgers there. They're definitely a, you know, physically superior team to the Coyotes, you'd have to think, but not a, you know, not this giant, you know, epic challenge that they would be able to stay in that game. Last year, Bowling Green, they beat North Dakota by a point. So the margin there might not be real fantastic. They might be able to hang in there in that one. I think the real test is that week three, they play their first game at the Dome against North Dakota, which is last year was just a wild game against North Dakota in Grand Forks that went to overtime and USD lost it. And North Dakota is picked to win the Big Sky this year. So you're really looking at a Missouri Valley Conference type of team that they're going to be playing. And they're playing them at home. And I think that if they show that they can, you know, that they can not just compete, but really assert themselves and maybe show that, yes, they definitely have taken a step forward here and handle a North Dakota team coming down here, that would be a sign, the first sign that, okay, you know, that the previous definition of you had in your head about how USD football has changed, because they're obviously more talented this year. But that would be the place where I think you'd see it the first time. And if they do that, you could look at a lot of these other games and all of a sudden they look a little bit, you know, they look a little bit more enticing if you're rooting for that team to finish with a record that gets them into the playoffs.
Yeah, Mick, I hope we can get you back sometime during the season. Again, the Coyotes open their football season Saturday at Drake. Game time is 6 p.m. Mick Geary of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader has joined us for a preview of this year's Coyotes football team. And Mick, thanks much. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.